As I always like to say, it is a privilege to be a part of the family of faith here at the DeWitt Community Church. And when one of these seasonal events or holidays pops up on the scene and I get to do this type of thing, it enriches my soul and allows me to sense a commitment of involvement over a long period of time, culminating at this stage of my life. So I thank you for the privilege and for the wonder of this particular week, where last Sunday of morning worship service and all those wonderful Christmas Eve experiences resulting in the attendance of lots and lots of folks, and our musicians providing such great encouragement and uplifting spirit, pastors working hard and doing their job. We are glad they could have a little break at this time, and so here I am, folks, I'm back. We know that this is a season of gladness and joy and light, and as Pastor Mark has taken us through Advent on a journey of what it means to be a people of joy, we have come to understand that. So it is highly appropriate, even on this last day of the traditional cycle of the Christmas season, we offer a Merry Christmas to all of you, and also the recognition of the anticipation of a great 2018, which will come upon us very quickly as we move to the Christmas Eve excitement that takes place this evening. Gladness and joy and light are really good things, and we anticipate what can happen in next year's days that come before us. I think it's kind of a good purpose for us. It certainly serves me well. If I take a look a little bit, looking backward, just for a few moments, because even though this very week allows us to reflect on some good things of God's grace in the celebration of all that our church family is about, and certainly our life is circled around more than just the program year of the church, but those of us who are part of the experience of staff and so on, think in those terms for a little bit, and as we just look together, ministries that matter, people's lives touched, children encouraged and taught, adults challenged and learning as well, all the kinds of activities that are a part of the experience of being in the church family. I can think of numerous weddings that took place in this very environment that were a joy to be a part of and brought smiles and happiness to bride and groom and all those who joined them. Baptisms that were always a moment of celebration and happiness and all that that means. And I might share with you that this very Friday, just the day before yesterday, we had a baptism here. It was chosen for that day because it was the gathering of family from Pittsburgh and Boston and other places around the countryside, and they could all be together for the baptism of a little young girl. It was an exciting time for a reason that symbolized something important to me in the church, not just that service or ceremony, but the father of the child and several other of the relatives there were children in this church years ago, grew up in the Sunday school, were part of all the activities that made a difference, had a good sense of solid wanting to come back and have this be the place for that baptismal experience. It was a good thing to feel those connections and what history could meant. And though that family lives in Washington for more than 17 years now, still the DeWitt Community Church made a difference to them all the way back to childhood. And another part of that exciting thing to me was something we see a little bit of, but there must have been 9 or 10 or 11 kids who were early preschool or early school age and preschool. Now, every now and then, children come to their brothers or sisters or cousins' baptism, but usually one or two is quite a few, but 9 or 10 or 11, that was too much of an opportunity for someone who talks as much as I do to miss. So they were all kind of gathered right down like you folks would be sitting here, and so I kind of went over there and I said, now, all of you understand that in age, you are the closest to this little one who is being baptized. And at least on a statistical basis, will have the longest period of time to influence her by your example and your friendship and your love and overcoming the challenges that life can hold within it. And it was amazing how a lot of those kids could be so riveted to someone as old as I am when I told them that they were important and that what they did, said, thought, and wanted to be mattered a lot. And I have more comments about those few words that I really have not done very often, except very generically with a few that are there, but a little bit longer this time because of the numbers. It was a very, very special moment. And it was a joy to be able to have a part of that. Now, you folks all understand, though it sounds like it, that probably in reality, I don't do the most weddings and I don't do the most baptisms of our pastoral staff. My share, my time to be helpful. So what I get to share, just those few words, would be multiplied time and time again by Alan and Mark, Cindy, who serve with faithfulness in the same way. It's good to reflect on those kind of things. It's also important for us to sort of reflect back and remember, maybe to some degree in the immediate year past or nearby, but also looking back even further as we anticipate a new year. Some of us have had moments that were exciting and meaningful and accomplished goals and visions in our life and felt the presence of our support from church and family and from the Lord's Spirit. But then there are those of us who lost loved ones this year or are reflecting on those who have gone into God's presence in years gone by. I always find it a time when I kind of reflect with almost a little touch of silliness of some of the reality of my experience in those thoughts. It was 62 years ago that my dad died. I was just a kid. That's a long time. I don't spend a whole lot of time thinking about Dad, though I do regularly, but not all the time. And the sense of loss and the sense of separation has long since been enveloped with the anticipation of renewal and all that has transpired in the meantime of those who have joined him. But still, I think of those things. And just because I get the chance, I'll tell you that the one thing that crosses my mind will make a few of you smile who even know about this, but my dad was an absolutely wild fan of the Brooklyn Dodgers. Now, some of you here may not even know there was such a thing as the Brooklyn Dodgers, but boy, there was a big-time interest in those days. And just by coincidence, and it always makes me smile, year after year, it seemed that those old Yankees would beat the Dodgers in the World Series, right in the 50s, you know, all the time, again and again. But one year, Brooklyn won the World Series. It happened to be the year my dad died. He got to see it happen. And I just wonder sometimes with a smile on my face if maybe the Lord said, well, it's time, but at least we'll wait for that to happen. And there's always a smile that goes with that. And a joy in a sense within it. All of us have an understanding of what it means when we have lost a loved one, whether it's recent or far away, that at this season of the year we have a sense of emptiness or a loss that is very real. And even for those in which we understand that the fullness of life has been completed, for after all, there's not a one who does not understand that eventually we will reach a time when we cross over into God's grace in the fullness of his presence. A few times I have shared this poem, and I realize it's repetitive in that sense, but once a year is not too much to get it out. So listen with me, if you will. I see the countless Christmas trees around the world below, with tiny lights like heaven's stars reflecting on the snow. The sight is so spectacular, please wipe away that tear. For I spent Christmas with Jesus Christ this year. I hear the many songs that people hold so dear, but the sounds of music can't compare with the Christmas choir up here. I have no words to tell you the joy their voices bring, for it is beyond description to hear the angels sing. I know how much you miss me, I see the pain inside your heart, but I am not far away. We really aren't apart. So be happy for me, dear ones. You know I hold you dear. and be glad I've spent Christmas with Jesus Christ this year. I send you a special gift from my heavenly home above. I send you each a memory of my undying love. After all, love is a gift more precious than pure gold. Please love and keep each other as my Father said to do, for I can't count the blessings or love He has for each of you. So have a happy new year and wipe away that tear. Remember, I've spent Christmas with Jesus Christ this year. We live in the sense of promise, of hope, of caring, of love. And those words, though simple, touch us at a place where each of us understands that loss is real, but promise is greater. And so we celebrate the anticipation of another year in which we can be found faithful and can be about the purpose of God's will and God's way. When we look back this past week and over the past month or so, when we were studying out the experiences of that old Christmas story, when some of us watched some of the kids from our church do a Christmas pageant that was exciting and meaningful and connected some of those good old stuff we remember when we were younger to the more modern expression that can be had that gives energy and light to our present generation, it was good. And we have a tendency with rightfulness to turn to joy and happiness. Some of the announcements that were exampled by Elizabeth and Zacharias hearing about the birth of John, who would become John the Baptist, the forerunner of the Messiah in announcing his coming. Very exciting stuff. It's joyful, it's happy. When we think of angels singing, it's all in that sort of picture that even the movie makers can make come to life and be exciting. But spend a moment with me, would you not, in what it was like for the people who heard the message. The text was very clear to say Elizabeth and Zechariah were very old. I won't dwell on it, but be perfectly honest, if some of us who are seniors in life were to suddenly get the word that we were about to become a mother or even a dad, thinking of mom, of course, would be something, I'm not sure that that would be filled with, oh, isn't that a great idea? Just when I got used to sending my grandchildren home after a busy day, now you're telling me I'm going to have to raise another one of those? There was fear there. There was anxiety, and the text tells us so. We won't dwell on each one, but Mary, when she got the word in her circumstances in her life, that was a terrifying announcement to her. It was theologically terrorizing because she understood from her Hebrew upbringing that there was to be a Messiah born into the world. But no young woman actually went around saying, I wonder if it's going to be me. It just wasn't the natural order of things. And when an angel came to her and told her that it was to be so, it was mystifying to her at first and terrorizing at the same time. And when Joseph got the word, he couldn't believe a thing he heard. And God made it possible for him not to speak, which was probably a very good thing at that point, given the cultural pressure that was on him, given the situation, as well as the connection to what the promise of God was all about. And friends, if you were a shepherd in the field, kind of low on the totem pole socially, took care of someone else's investment, that was the sheep, and things were quiet and going along normally, it was probably a little chilly, not like we've come used to these few days, but the reality was in the Middle East it could get a little cool at night and they were gathered around fires perhaps in a few places and all of a sudden the heavens light up and a bunch of angels start singing. Now we have managed to create in our own image the most wonderful, joyful, magnificent expression of understanding that when we celebrate it 2,000 plus years later, but the reality was it scared the wits out of them. And even the ones who were informed by what the promises of God were about took a little trouble to share with the others what might happen. and the wise men, the intellectuals of their community, the ones who had spent years before the study of looking at the heavens and saying something special is afoot, and they thought it through and they didn't know exactly what it meant, but something was up. And they also had a sense of anxiety about what that could be, for they had seen many challenges faced in life as you watch the stars. And they went to Herod. Herod knew the theology. He knew what the old scriptures said. He knew that there was a promise of a deliverer to come, and he knew it threatened, in his mind at least, his kingdom. He mixed up a little bit the role of Messiah and the role of the king at that point. So he told them to go and find the child and come back and tell him, and you know the story. An angel appeared to them and said, "Don't do it. Find the child, but then go back to your own land." And Herod's response to that, out of fear and anger and frustration, was to slaughter every child, every young child in the whole county, as we might say it, or a state perhaps, if we saw it that way, where Jesus was reputed to be. And before that happened, an angel told Joseph to take Mary and the child into Egypt in order that he might be protected, and that later he would come back from Egypt and would live in Nazareth. There are a couple of obscure scriptures in the Old Testament that tell us that Messiah would actually come back to Israel out of Egypt. And if you read them by yourselves, they seem sort of insignificant and of little purpose. But if you connect them to the story of God's angel scaring Joseph again, by sending, "Take the child, go to that place where he can be safe and return to the duty of his calling." God's eternal will and God's eternal way is not simple to us. There is a fearfulness that went to those early people, and I'm not saying we should dwell in fearfulness because of those stories being true. We should rejoice, and we should see the heavens light up with angels singing with a happy spirit, but once in a while, to reflect on what they must have felt, does our own spirit good to see how far we have come to rejoice in the fulfilling of the promise. For God has said he has called you, each one of you and me, by name, and he says we are his. His provision of redemption, of forgiveness, of promise, was all put there for the purpose of our being here in this place at this time. And when he gave us of his Holy Spirit, and proceeded to lead us from many cases because of God's goodness, early childhood right to our present age, growing and understanding and deepening, facing questions and challenges and finding answers and being uplifted, and all those things that make it possible for us to be here this morning in the state of mind with God's goodness by his Spirit leading us, that process, theologians like to call that the process of sanctification. That's a word you can sort of forget about if you want to, because we don't have to know that growing in the place of God's will and way, becoming Christ-like by the process of life's experience, by understanding what goodness is through redemption, that God is in fact in control, and that we celebrate in the best of times, and we understand that there is sustenance in the worst of times. That there is a goal to life, that we are always victors and not victims, even in the short term when we struggle, and that all time is short, no matter how long we may be blessed to live. Crossed my mind in May of this year past that if my mom had been alive, she'd been 100 years old. I don't know too many people who are 100 years old, and she certainly did not make that year. But in terms of eternity, and certainly in terms of even the history that we celebrate, 100 years is a short time. The doorway that we call the absence of this life into the deliverance of eternal life, the release from all limitation and the fulfillment of promise, is the wonder of what Christmas anticipates for us. We're about to face a new year, to enter into 2018, How many people were frightened at one time when we went from 1999 to 2000 and all kinds of crazy stuff went on then? Now we've gotten used to it. And the reality is, time marches forward in the intention of God's will. He wants us to understand that we have a purpose in what is coming. Some of it will be to be faithful in the normal. Occasionally we'll face a great opportunity or challenge. Sometimes we will overcome the worst of difficulties. But all in all, it will be 2018 to be blessed before God. Is there a place for fear in that? Maybe in human terms. Have you been watching the news a little bit as the preparation for the enormous goings-on in New York City tonight and other places, of course, as well? But they're always talking about how many security personnel and systems of security can be put into play in one location when there are a million people wandering around to make it possible for people not to be afraid of just being there. We have lived in a world where so much difficulty and challenge and even evil impinges itself upon us as a human family that there's always a subtlety of fear that's in the midst of us. But as I placed in our bulletin this morning a quote from Dr. Shirley Mullen, who is, by the way, the president of Houghton College, since most of you may not just know who Shirley is, she said, as I have printed there, "Do we dare to take seriously this Christmas the familiar words, 'Fear not,' and allow ourselves, like the actors of the first Christmas story, to trade our fear for fearlessness? Do we have the courage to make ourselves available for God's unexpected and always surprising purposes in our world? When I say to you this morning, Happy New Year, I mean for you to understand there will be surprises, and may they be blessings, and may we offer those blessings even as we receive them to the glory of God and the wonder of thankful spirit for Jesus' sake." Let us pray. Lord, you have given us the privilege of life, and you have called us to this moment in history. We thank you, dear Lord, that in your grace and love we can move forward even as we glance back to the celebrations we have just been a part of or the long and meaningful life that you have given to us. Help us, O Lord, to celebrate your presence in this day and this world for the honor and purpose of your kingdom and for the goodness of our world through our witness. For Jesus' name is whom we pray with thankfulness. Amen.